All right, good evening, everyone. I'm hearing a feedback here, so let's try that again. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Roundtable, Week 32, February 16th, 2012. I'm your host, Robert Zuluaga. Janine Stewart is our producer, but she is out of town today, and Laura Murphy has taken over the panel. So thank you very much, Laura. And I just love your selection of music to open us up. You know,
Thank you.
Very, very nice. I was thinking two things while that music was playing and just reflecting on the past week in the Republic and stuff going on. And so I just want to read a couple of scriptures to start off. And the first is out of Psalms, out of the Old Testament. And it's Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. I got a call just before the program to advise me that the president is exhausted and is going to bed straight away this evening, so we have a stand-in for him. But on that note, I wanted to read from Hebrews 3 talks about rest and entering into the rest of God. You know, God created earth in 7 days, or he rested on the seventh day, and it's complete. All the work is done. The work of the Father is done. The work of the Son is done. And we're called to enter into the rest of the completed work. And that might be abstract for some of you, but for those of you who have ears to hear, let me just read this to you. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as the Son, over his own household, whose house we are, if we hold fast and confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with the generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. For I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. And he has said, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So as we enter into our Republic Roundtable this evening, I just wanted us to reflect on the fact that the work is done, the work is completed, and that we're called to abide in the rest of the Lord. We're called to allow him to lead, and we follow. We respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So that's my introduction to prayer, and I'd like to call on one of our members here to open us in a word of prayer. And I saw you here earlier. Well, so many more people added to the call. I apologize. Where did you go? There you are. Okay. Sharon, I'm inviting you to open us in a word of prayer, if you would.
Thank you, Robert. Father, we just come to you with our hearts full of praise and full of thanksgiving. Lord, just thank you so much that we can come together and abide in you and help us to come into that rest and just abide, Lord, and lead us and guide us on this call. And may everything that we say and do be according to thy will and not ours. In Jesus Christ, holy in precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome.
You know, she has summed it up well there. It's like, let it be what you want, Lord, not what we want. And I don't know about you, but a lot of really, really exciting things are happening. We're seeing a lot of breakthroughs. We're seeing breakthroughs in the court. We're seeing breakthroughs in foreclosures. We're seeing breakthroughs in a lot of areas. And at the same time, we're seeing absolutely crazy things happening. And, you know, it's really a time to be poised. It's really a time to think your best thoughts, hold your highest vision, and recognize that anything is possible. And so if you give the positive expectancy and the hope and the confidence you have, the weight, even in the face of great uncertainty, you've got a stronger opportunity to prevail than you do if you give in to fears and doubts and negatives. So with that, I'm going to invite Rick Weiner to stand in for the president here. That he had a number of notes the president gave to him that he wants to bring to our attention this evening. So Rick Weiner, you have the floor.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Very well.
Very good. I just got on the call during Sharon's prayer there. You had let everyone know that the president's a bit under the weather?
I did. Yes, indeed.
Very good. He's this weekend in California doing what we believe is his final seminar having to do with the land patent / Dominion Services system that he and four other people put together. Just a quick touch on that point. What we're doing is we're bringing online a committee called Dominion Services. It's designed specifically to be able to teach people how to regain true ownership of their land through a land patent process. As most of you know who have studied the Constitution, it actually mentions in there about electors being truly the only ones that can vote, although that whole system is going to have to be changed a little bit by Congress, because that was back whenever we had fewer states than we do now. And of course that system is going to have to be updated and different things having to do with the Constitution. But just the ability for us to actually get back to the point where we're not tenants on the land is the ultimate goal. And it is actually a separate process for mortgages. People have a misunderstanding that if you have a mortgage and you take care of it through the land patent, it automatically takes care of the mortgage. That's actually two separate contracts. We are actually going to just put this together as an education process. And we have had some very good, not luck, very good wins, I guess you might say, in areas having to do with the land patent system. And so as that develops, we will send out press releases and more information so that the people can actually go to the Dominion Services website and learn how that process is going to work. Second item, Robert, it has come to our attention that, as many of you know, there are several conference calls going on that are literally outside what the Republic is trying to do. A good thing, probably, a social conference call was put together called the Coffee Clutch Call that was supposed to just let members kind of get to know each other outside of their jobs type thing. Unfortunately, even that particular call degenerated into a splinter group. We have been notified that they're going to start their own brand of nation states or a simpler group. They're going to apparently introduce themselves as the Constitutional Congress or some type group. We, of course, are not to be confused with their desires or law form, as they have begun another group who wishes to set their dates of re-inhabiting the Republic at around 1860, based on the belief that they want to retain the 11th, 12th, and 13th Amendments and a combination of other law forms that includes the Magna Carta, Articles of Confederation, etc. Apparently, this new group of ex-Republic members is consisting of a few misguided governors and other officials who have removed their signatures from the Utah Declaration of Sovereign Intent, and others who have put forth that the states are sovereign, and therefore these officials can somehow rule over their members. Other officials have indicated that this republic has turned into a Christian movement that utilizes prayer, and therefore is a republic that they no longer want to be part of. There's also a side belief that a grand jury foreman, and therefore the grand jury that he or she is leading, somehow trumps the governors and the other officials, and that it's a little bit far-fetched. These poor misguided people need to understand how a Republican form of government truly runs. There are Senate members who were lawfully removed by their own people in their own free state for actions not condoned or approved by the people regarding radically different constitutions and other non-constitutional acts. They were censored for attempting to create filibusters on the Senate floor, as well as other overt acts. The Code of Ethics Committee investigated these matters and applied lawful means of censure with a request to those members that were being censored to answer to these actions of what they had been apparently participating in, requesting these members reply with their own explanation of their actions to ensure they were not wrongfully charged or inadvertently misunderstood regarding their actions. To date, those senators who have been censored have not responded, although one has with his particular answer. The investigation will continue. However, new information has been presented that the current members of this coffee clutch group intend to send out a mass email to other members of the Republic with misinformation to garner support for their misguided group. As we have grown and finally been able to document more than a quorum of free states operating under the Republican form of government, these splinter groups have come together in an attempt to divide our Republic and thwart the efforts of the people to lawfully re-inhabit the Republic. Interestingly enough, in the five or so free states who had actually lost most of their members due to the actions and rule of their officials, when these misguided officials either resigned or removed themselves due to their own declaration to other law forms for their independent state republic, these few states suddenly came alive. The people in these divided free states have affirmed their intent to our republic by utilizing an affidavit of sovereign rights, confirming our law form as set by our founding fathers of the Holy Bible, the 1776 Declaration of Independence, the original 1789 Constitution of the United States that consisted of seven articles, and the 1791 Bill of Rights that only has 10 amendments, and therefore affirmed that the people are sovereign and not the states. It is, of course, the right of these groups or individuals to pull away from our republic, for God gave that freedom of choice to us all. We, however, caution the good people of our republic for the United States of America to please do their own due diligence, to seek the truth, and if they are contacted by these groups, to ask them to clearly define their law form. For over a year now, we have had chat rooms spreading misinformation, slanderous emails, hearsay, rumors, and outright lies designed to damage our republic and our officials. When we respectfully requested these alleged facts be brought forth in a lawful court, None bothered to present any factual evidence. These groups seem always to hide behind weak excuses or a purported need to hide these alleged truths to hold on to their spotlight. Supposedly, this damning evidence has been turned over to the FBI and other corporate agencies. Yet, when some of our Republic members were contacted recently by the FBI, the agent reported they were not having any problem with our Republic. They were only investigating the splinter groups that were pushing law forms outside the Constitution, illegal trusts, or investigating activities that were illegal by the adhesion contracts people were already in. We have unfortunately been victims of believing in individuals who promised us funding in the past, who played games with our ID machines and the people's trust. Some purported to have abilities to allow us to win in the de facto courts. Unfortunately, all of that misinformation has caused us all harms and major delays. However, the positive side of the notes from the president are, we are now setting up our own ecclesiastical courts that lawfully allow us to remove our people to a lawful justice system on a case-by-case basis. The corporate de facto Supreme Court just ruled 9-0, upholding that ecclesiastical courts are indeed lawful means to settle complaints. Hearsay and rumor has been spread that the lawful counsel who is assisting us is a sham. Many emails have gone out and misinformation has been put out. We respectfully request any factual documentation be brought to us that confirm any of the internet myths or rumors. We have firsthand knowledge that our counsel does have the ability to act lawfully and counter the frivolous de facto court system. We have confirmed removals of cases from the de facto private court system and are endeavoring to set up our own courts to the benefit of the people in our republic. Now, a quick update on funders. We have true contacts with true funders of the world's governments who have, in fact, set aside portion of the world's gold supply to enable us to again fund and regain our republic so that we have a true republican form of government. We have been respectfully asked to not disclose who these funders are at this time so we can complete our funding in peace. The items that we had in the way in the past seem to have been removed. The president says, in conclusion, we ask for your prayers that God will continue to open the doors and provide for us, enabling us to complete the process to reset the republic. We are moving forward in God's plan and will do our best to follow his lead to finally secure the funds to set up a parallel interim government working to transition back to the republic our fathers left us. God bless you all. James Timothy Turner. And with that, Robert, I yield.
Thank you, Rick. Wow. Yeah, it gets bloody. The closer we get to the victory, it gets bloody. And I'm looking at some of history. There was a segment on the Gettysburg battle on the Turner Channel the other day. It was just like 15 minutes, and I think we lost something like 51,000 men over the course of 2 days as one side beat up the other. It was just powerful bloodbath, and I just look at the fact of the work we're doing, the monumental tasks that we have in front of us, and all things considered, there's been some pruning along the way, but I'm encouraged to see that we have the victories in front of us, and at each step we've had here, particularly over the last 3 months, we're just getting more and more strong, powerful pieces to firm together the foundation of the republic. So I acknowledge the detractors, but I'm also encouraged to know that those of us who remain strong, and we're laying a foundation that's going to open the door for others who are just, you know, the second tier. Rick, I have about half a dozen questions that have come in over the week through Republic Questions. Would you like to take a brief shot at some of them?
Absolutely. We'll do our best, and if we don't have the answer, we'll get it back to them ASAP.
Okay. The first one says, Robert, I've been told many times that in 1891/1894, that the de facto Supreme Court ruled something like this. Once the Republic was reseated, then the de facto corporate must stand down. Would you address this and direct me to the ruling?
Robert, I don't know off the top of my head the ruling. We have read it. We do know that there is cases in the Supreme Court where one of the justices actually announced at one point that there has always been two governments in our United States, one running in the shadows, the Republic, because the people simply walked out of the office and turned the lights off, and the other being a de facto, in other words, what does de facto mean, Robert? Do you remember?
De facto? Well, they're in place of.
In
de
place
facto,
of, thank you.
Yeah.
That's right. The corporation actually came online, and they are in place of the Republic because there was no other governing entity at the time. Now, over our past year and a half of research that I've been luckily to be involved in, going into actual archives, looking at acts of Congress, looking at the actual congressional sessions, we've been able to get a clearer picture of what happened to the Republic. It actually started probably going sideways as early as 1795 with the 11th Amendment being passed that started making the state sovereign again, which was the same problem that was happening with the Articles of Confederation. Then as you track along, of course, we had 1860, which a lot of people stick on that date, saying that's when they were adjourned sin die. We have since found conclusive information that there was a quorum of states left at that time when the seven southern states left. So that doesn't mean, if you actually look in the archives, the Acts of Congress, everything else, you'll find that they adjourned sin die many, many times, not just that one time. It's interesting how patriot myths are perpetrated and continually fed. And as we go back and actually pull up the real history and the real facts, we find a lot of different things. So in 1860, Lincoln did have a quorum to continue to do business. Now, what we're currently trying to do is find out what gave him the authority to do those first executive orders. We have found some pretty strong evidence that he put those executive orders as an emergency together and that he was going to bring the Republican form of government and a monetary system back online, and that's why he was assassinated. There's a lot of, again, patriot myth, patriot misunderstanding, different individuals putting forth different facts and fiction. So we're not saying by any means right here and right now that is, in fact, the fact. That is just things that we have discovered as we go along. Then, in about 1882, we're looking at that probably be the last stroke that the Republic actually did fall away, because at that point, Congress for themselves started taking a new oath to an office rather than just an oath to the Constitution, making them representatives of the people. They took an oath to an office, which immediately moved them out of the legislative branch, so we now had two branches of government existing to this day. The corporation runs a judicial branch and an executive branch, and all of Congress right now, with that oath of office, falls under the executive branch. So, Robert, that's probably a long way around to help answer their question. If you will forward that to me, I believe Nathan and I would be able to give him the case number or the court case that he's speaking of or they're speaking of.
Very good. I'm happy to do that. Also, if any of the members of the Republic know that answer, if you want to shoot the answer over to questions@republicoftheunitedstates.org, that would also be a great service to us. The next question I have is, will nation bond the states, or do we need to set up this individually? What about those signing up as a citizen? Can they continue receiving Social Security and food stamps?
Okay, ask me the first part of the question again.
Will national bond the states, or do we need to set this up individually?
That's a question that I know that the President and I, neither one, will be able to answer at this time. It all has to do with the treaties, the monetary system, and the terms or treaties that will go along with that. We wouldn't even be able to hazard a guess, because once that information is set in front of Congress, Congress will be the ones determining that. We've often said that the hypothecation system will probably change, and all other areas will change, and so that is an area we cannot answer until Congress actually comes out and lets us know which direction we're going. And then what was the second part of the question?
Well, I see he a day later brought another question that kind of more clearly asked it. He says, what about the IRS and its authority over Republic citizens? What benefits must someone give up to join the Republic? And I think that's what he meant about Social Security and food stamps.
Yeah, it makes sense. This is going to be a transition period. We're going to do our absolute best to make sure that no one is harmed during the transition. We can't guarantee it. We don't know how moving from a corporate government, de facto government, to a parallel de jure government is going to operate. Never been done before. We don't have a book on it. But it is our intention to simply cut off the heads of the different agencies. It is our intention to continue with the Social Security program until Congress finds something better. It is our intention to continue with any type of the social services programs so that we can create the least amount of harm to the people as they are educated, as they understand that they now need to become responsible for their own actions, as they see that we have to get rid of these welfare programs that have actually been a negative for our entire nation. So that's where we're at on that, Robert.
Well, we had talked at one time about having a charitable branch of the Republic that had nothing to do with the government side of it, but had to do with the assisting of I'm going to say do-good programs or of programs through what typically the church handles. Is there still talk of that from a funding branch, from the funding source?
Well, as you know, that they were the president had talked early on about 12 cities of refuge. Again,
correct.
We don't have enough information on that to be able to answer to the concerns or the questions. But again, it's one of those kind of things that as it unfolds and we bring the information to the people, it will be, of course, the people's choice. They will voice through their representatives. That brings to mind that question. That brings to mind the whole Davy Crockett, Horatio Bunt situation where,
exactly.
You know, the senators and people actually started spending the people's money without authorization. So we definitely don't want to get to that situation again, Robert. So I understand your candor.
All right. Very good. All right, just a couple of short questions left here, and then we're going to move to the tech side of the call. This one is, do we have any news about Tim's meeting with the UN or what may or may not be going on? No one seems to know anything, and it has been, I believe, going on 3 weeks now as of today. That was Monday.
Yes, we do have news. He has continued to be notified by other nations that have actually written to the UN. We haven't been privy to what that information is, what it says, but written to the UN asking for an audience with the president. We are still moving forward with the ability for him to get to the funders. We do have a plan in place, and we in the past we disclosed it pretty openly. Nefarious others were able to block by not allowing the president to have a U.S. passport. Then we were given another doorway to do other things with passports. We kind of went through different scenarios where they found different ways to block. We wholeheartedly believe that the method that has been put forth by us this time, doors opened by God as far as we can tell, are going to allow us to complete that mission in this quarter. First quarter being January, February, March. We believe that we'll be able to finally get to those places and for him to finally address the members of the UN and answer the letters and information that are coming in on his behalf. So that's the best update I personally have, Robert.
Excellent. One other writer says, perhaps we might reinforce the importance of the state's need to get ready for funding, like finding a treasury building.
Yes, sir. That is one of the suggestions the president made. It virtually goes into a suggestion, you know, look around at old bank buildings, look around at those type of things. The budget, the national budget, the state's budget, and everything else are literally shot in the dark because we don't know how a parallel government is going to operate. Jim Fitzgerald, our UN ambassador, happens to be a very good contract. He does insurance work, and so he has to design spreadsheets and look at these type of situations, do the projections and things like that. He worked for companies in the past. That's all he did was projections. So he was very helpful in all of the states participated by sending in information of what they knew they had in the way of counties, what they knew they had in the way of different agencies that would have to be supported in a parallel system. And so we literally have two budgets going here. We have the initial budget of the parallel government and looking for those areas. We do have a quorum of states. We have 31 states that are what we call 100% in the way of paperwork. We have seven others that simply need to finalize a few things, silly little things like updating their legislating forms, Senate forms, because a lot of things have changed over that period of time. Literally all the paperwork is in. It is now just the ongoing thing. The people I get to work with every day here at the Republic Records Bureau work tirelessly. I can't believe that they were able to do as much. And, Robert, you can thank you and Phyllis, who were actually one of the main ones that started this process over a year ago. So you and Phyllis, above anybody, understand the problems in the process. We've had a lot of states with a lot of people that had no clue how to be records keepers. And so that was an ongoing learning process. But I need to let everyone know here that all of the states, 38 of the states at this point, have done an outstanding job of putting this information and going back with doing things called errors and omissions where they found that they were lacking and didn't have certain things. So it's been put together. So directly to answer the question, the whole idea is, yes, we need them looking around for the different buildings that they could possibly meet in. There's going to be a whole lot of interim type things. We may lease buildings for a while. We may do all sorts of things. Anybody with a decent business sense is going to be welcomed into those particular positions to help us out as we go along. And that's what I've got, Robert.
Very good. I'm excited to hear that we've got 38 now. We were hovering around 34. Now we're close to 38 being final touches. And I think once the funding pieces are in place, we're going to see these other states just come on board quickly. So,
realize with that statement right there, once the funding comes on board, that actually will exponentially create more problems.
Of course.
Because then we've got to do the bookkeeping and everything else. A lot of people call me up and says, well, when fundings get here, our problems will be over. No, when funding gets here, it's an exponential rotation from there. So we're just pleased that we are to the point we are and that the funding has truly been set aside, that we do have a quorum or enough states put together that when that funding is therefore put in place, when Congress has the ability to approve the treaties, the banking system, and the funding system, you know, people were probably looking at a very, very minimum of 90 days from the point that Congress says, okay, we can start in this particular area. So I just want to warn people that, you know, if we get funding, it's not like I can write a check tomorrow to each and every individual because we've got to put the treasury together. We've got to put the protocols together, and we have to be accountable. Thank you, Robert.
Oh, that is so true. I just have to say the good news about the funding is that it will enable people to work full-time in the Republic. I work for a fiduciary, and we are required to account for every single penny we manage other people's funds and other people's lives, basically. And I know absolutely for a fact that when you're dealing with money, it is every T is crossed, every I audited, every figure rechecked. Maybe that's not true in the de facto government, but it's certainly going to be the case in our government. The last question I have is it's expressing some of the pain that those who have been part of this for a long time are experiencing. So I'm going to leave names out and just tell the story as it says. I'd like to ask a question that I think is on everyone's mind but did not will not get asked for being thought of as a gold digger or doing what we do for the potential money. Is it possible to have access to back pay at this point? Can we have a special dispensation fund released somehow? We all know 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and I know that you have personally suffered much as well. We are tough people and would never complain, but I ask out of a heart concern for some close to me. In fact, if they even knew that I'm sending this, they wouldn't like it. One person works sometimes 20 hours a day, sleeping very little, ignoring his business, and now has some physical concerns on his body. He's trying to deal with that with some, you know, natural remedies because he has no money for surgery or biopsy. Another works 12 to 15-hour days, 7 days a week, except for church. Being threatened and lied about by the very people that she's working hard to make free. The reason their state is standing as it does is because she takes what she does seriously. They shut down their business, became working for the Republic full-time in their state, working as an administrator, believing that the Lord is would have them do this. We're believing that a great revival is coming to America and feel it strongly about this work as our own work for the gospel. We are almost completely ignored our own financial well-being, and I think the stress is affecting our health. I would love to take her to the hospital and see if she can have some work looked at, but I can't afford to do so. Whatever happens, I know that we are all in his hands, and he's rarely early but never late. My own human compassion sees these needs of so many people, so as some media not wishing to see them wait another month or two. Okay, we all have too many plates spinning, and I'm beginning to see them crash on the floor in person's life. I hope you understand our loyalty to the Republic and to you. We have pledged our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor and are happy to do so. It is not about money, but it sure would help to have some right now, if possible. If not, we are good with that as well.
Well, if we go to the very first part, if we go to the very first part, the answer is budget-wise, humanitarian-wise, and everything else, there are plans, again, in place to bring some type of immediate relief. Again, it has to do with how the banking system is going to be laid out, how it's going to work. We just don't know, so it's really hard to answer. The interesting part about their statement is that could apply to about 100 people that I personally deal with on a weekly basis. And so it is definitely heartfelt. I could actually probably name the exact people they're talking about because I am working with some of these people that have those exact same problems. And I understand this person's heartfelt questions. And the President, I truly wish that we could give you an answer, but we're in the same boat that you are, is that we are waiting and relying on the doors that God has opened for us, and that when those answers come, and when we see that, as to do with back pay and things like that, I am quite sure that we will be able to go back and do something that will assist and therefore bring things forward. And along with that funding, we'll open up a plethora of health remedies, I guess, is the best word. Robert, can you think of a better word?
Well, allowing real remedies to come forth into the marketplace, I think, absolutely.
Yes, unhooking the ones having to do with the cancer treatments and everything else. In other words, just opening us up to where we can actually have some true healing the way God intended it to. So that's the best I can think to answer at this point, unless you have a more defined question, Robert.
No, I don't. I just have a supportive comment to make into it, and that is we are, all of us, just as the founders were, we are called to give our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. But at the same time, we have such an awesome God who we serve. You call him by whatever name you like, but he's faithful. He's done the work. And as I started with a call talking about entering the rest, I think now as we put the pieces in place, we each have to look at how to conduct ourselves with a balance for the long haul. We've really pushed. We've pushed to get to the point we are now. And I think it's time to start using, as our next speaker is going to be talking about, using technology to start doing some of the hard work for us, to start duplicating our efforts, to start stepping back. You know, there's a terrific book that is for those of you who are in business, but it has to do with leadership. It's called The E-Myth. And the principle that comes out of E-Myth is to work not to work in your business, to work on your business. And I think you could apply that principle to the Republic, that we should be looking to have eyes to work on the Republic and not so much in it from the standpoint of having to do all the hand work ourselves. It's really time to start mentoring new folks into the Republic, to start expressing leadership skills and duplicating ourselves and recognizing that really God is the doer. We're his instruments, but he certainly calls us to live a life where he's first. And sometimes if we work so hard that we forget that, we start doing all the work and thinking we're the doers. So that's my response. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one quick question. Are you going to do a Q&A after the technical portion?
Yes, he's going to do a presentation in four or five areas, and then we're going to open it up for Q&A.
Okay. I've got Skype up. I've got Laura who is helping you on the board, and so I'm going to be on another call. But I'll leave this line open, and if you've got a question that involves me or a question that I can perhaps answer, if you'll just have her Skype me, and I'll come to it right away.
Perfect. Have you got that, Laura?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you both. I'll be on the sidelines. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for standing in for the president. Thank you for your candid answers. We're going to move on the call now to IT. We're going to look at technology. We've got our guest this evening is Brad Luchek. He has done some terrific work here in Arizona. He's a representative from Arizona. And Brad, I apologize for taking so long to get you on the call, but the floor is now yours, sir. Good evening.
How you doing, Robert?
Hi, Brad. Really well.
Good. Just wanted to kind of share, it's been about a year and a half, I think, since we've had our website up, republicforarizona.org, and we've done a lot of different things, and I wanted to kind of share with everyone the type of usages of IT that we've implemented here in Arizona. It's really helped with communication, which does put aside a lot of the misinformation, having a good communication system, getting the word out, educating people in your free state about what the Republic is doing, and other related things. But there's kind of four different areas of technologies or tools or services that can be utilized. And those four categories, one is video streaming, and that's live video streaming, online voting or hybrid online voting slash paper voting, some website that you need to represent your free state, and then a video posting site of some kind for different videos that maybe you've had, like an interview that you've with a representative or maybe a documentary of some kind that you put together and you can post. In video streaming, there's two kind of directions to go with video streaming. Here in Arizona, we utilize every assembly meeting. We utilize ustream.tv. So it's www.ustream.tv. There's three different things that you need to utilize this service. One, you need to have internet connection at the location where you're having your meeting. Two, you need a computer, which is either a Mac or a PC. And three, a webcam. Wow. Once you create a site or an account on ustream.tv, you can actually live stream your entire assembly for as long as you like. And then after it's completed, it's archived on your page. So if you go to, as an example, if you go to republicforarizona.org, you'll see a selection called Live Video. Next Friday, we have our assembly here in Arizona, and you'll be able to watch it live. We've gotten comments from people that have actually watched their assemblies live for like 6 months and knew everybody in the assembly, yet they never attended, and finally had an opportunity to come. And they're telling us, oh, yeah, I've been watching the assembly for 6 months and finally came and wasn't sure about what it was all about and got introduced to your video stream and kind of learned from there. Some people that are at a distance to an assembly, they're maybe it's a couple hours drive to your assembly, Ustream is a good tool because at least they can watch the entire assembly and be engaged with Ustream, utilizing this live video streaming. If you want to up the ante some more as far as that ability, the next level, which we're working on soon and implementing, is utilizing a service like GoToMeeting.com. And GoToMeeting.com integrates the live video aspect, but has more integration of live interaction between different locations. So, for example, in Arizona, we're actually looking at implementing a state assembly meeting, which means every county would utilize GoToMeeting. They get together in their assembly location, and each assembly would get together, and they would have a computer there with an IT person there working the computer, and we would have a statewide meeting without everybody traveling hundreds of miles, and we're going to start implementing that. So there's a lot of things there, and obviously your imagination can even go further than that, but these are some of the things that we've done. Another area that we've used in the past is online voting. And there's a couple different sites that we use for that. The first time we had our election, we used a hybrid system of online voting for the people that couldn't attend, maybe because they were too far distance or they were just not able to go to their work and such. And one website is called ballotbin.com, which does that. It's an electronic system that's free at ballotbin.com. And how we did the paper side is the people that attended the actual vote or assembly where the vote was being taking place, we did paper balloting there. So that anybody didn't attend, they got an email with a security code to submit their one vote, and then all the people that were physically located at the assembly did a paper ballot.
Go ahead. How did people respond to that, and how did you ensure checks and balances for people who are a little skittish about doing online electronic ballots?
On the paper side, when we did the final count, we had four witnesses. Each witness counted the paper votes. There's an actual tally with administrator security access to the final votes. Usually that's assigned to one person or maybe one or two people. And you actually pull up the tally on ballotbin.com, and it will actually give you all the votes there. That's printed out, all four witnesses witness that count, and that's integrated right into the paper count. But usually we have 3 to 4 witnesses at the count, and then your Secretary of State signs off on the final, reviewing all the tools and things that we've, the online count and the paper ballots.
So that could happen county by county, and you could have that sort of witnessing happening at each county. That's what you're saying.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Okay, yep. Good.
A couple other sites that are paid services, and it's, when it gets to the paying part, how we've utilized this in Arizona in the past when we've utilized these is the assembly actually gets donations from members, and so we utilize those donations for things like this. Another website would be votenet.com. It's a paid service. It's an online voting system, a little more formal. You can actually have also questionnaire-type surveys and things like that as well. But the one I really like, it seems, you know, a lot of people have reservations as far as electronic voting, and I think, and then there's some people like prefer paper voting. That's fine, and I think we should have a choice. So this one website that does both in that one integrated system is eballot.votenet.com, and actually there, paid service again. If people identify themselves as wanting a paper ballot, you would mark and get their address. They would be mailed a ballot, or they can actually pick one up physically and vote, and that would be tallied in the count. So it's up to your assembly and what you guys prefer, but there's a couple different choices out there that I gave you here.
Well, if I remember correctly, when we voted, we each got an email. Anybody who was registered in the Republic for Arizona got an email with a very specific one-use PIN number security code, right. You could only use it one time, and so then you would then log on. And in fact, I think we actually did it at the assembly. We had four or five computers there, and people lined up, and we logged on to it. You took your specific security access number, punched it in, and then it recognized that it was you. You voted, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we actually experimented with a couple of different things. That was the first time we did the electronic thing. We actually did the system you described, Robert. But we thought we later, in another election following, decided that the people that are physically there, they would just fill out a paper ballot because it was taking a lot of time for people to get on the computer and enter their codes. So since they were physically there, we did paper ballots for them, and everybody else got an email that were not in attendance with that secret.
And I remember what happened in the audit of that too, Brad, was that then in the back room, then there was one team of people who were checking the ballot and the name on it, another team going to the registry for the state and confirming that those folks who voted were actually had done their Declaration of Sovereign Rights and their Jural Covenant.
That's correct.
Yeah, so it was good to see that checks and balances there. So,
yes, definitely.
Okay, excellent.
So that's on voting, and those are things that free states can utilize. It's been very helpful for us. The other category is your website, and I get a lot of inquiries on this, and I had found two simple solutions for that for people that they can't afford. I mean, to put up a website could be from a couple hundred dollars to thousands of dollars to get a website designed. So we didn't have that type of funding, and I didn't have a lot of time to put a website together for Arizona. So actually I found a solution that was both streamlined, simple, and inexpensive. And two of these websites that do this and allow this, one is Weebly.com, which is spelled Weebly.com. And another site is Webs, Webs.com. Both of these sites are something of a new kind of area in information technology or people that need websites. And that is a drag-and-drop type website design that looks good but is easy to configure. One of the things we have is obviously we don't have a lot of IT professionals to be posting updates on our website or making changes. So with Weebly.com, which is what we utilize, it's very simple to kind of make an edit on the site, publish it, and it's live. And within 10, 20 seconds, you can edit something, some text on the homepage that needs to be changed per request, or make a new posting about a new meeting. It was very quick, very easy, and streamlined. And that's what's real important when you have limited resources like we do in our free states to get a service like this where you do have the exposure of your website and the ease of use of referring somebody to a website because they're curious about the Republic or they want to understand what the de facto and de jure means, and having those educational resources on your website to direct them is very easy just to write a website down. So that's definitely a great resource to educating people. On our site, we actually have an education section, and there many people here in Arizona actually went on different video websites and found interesting documentaries or videos that described maybe a topic, and we actually made a collection of videos that are educational to areas of what we're trying to address and why people are getting involved with the Republic on the education section. You could spend probably a whole week or a couple of weeks watching all the videos on there. So we have that there.
Brad, you're bringing up a really interesting question here, at least to my mind, and that is we need to keep our sites updated, lively, dynamic, cutting edge. And is there any ability or any networking happening between the states right now to run simultaneous media releases or articles or pieces at the same time on the different websites so that we get a maximum exposure for current events, things that are germane to the Republic?
There isn't. The closest we have to maybe doing something like that is via email. To post something, like let's say, for example, in journalism or in the media outlets and just de facto world, they have certain entities, Reuters, AP and such, that put out press releases where news agencies decide on what they want to cover based on a press release description. There's several things like that. The Republic will need to implement something like that to meet what you're actually asking there so that everybody's on the same page, has a good amount of information. But then the other side of it is the diversity of having different types of information out there too. And so there's maybe some balance of some kind there. I think right now what I see in the Republic is a lot of misinformation, and to address that is through communication. We right now use freeconferencing.com and sort of other types of services like that. I think we need to use more. Conference calls like this one is very good. I know a lot of people that I talk to, they listen to this call to get updates on what's going on with the Republic. And so we just need to streamline making those archives of these calls available more easily and things like that, because there's a lot of important information that's shared on this call.
Well, Brad, are you open to some questions and answers for folks and some people to add their own insights and comments to it?
Well, I have one more area, and then I could.
One more area? Okay.
One more area, and then I'm definitely open to questions.
Okay.
The other area, for example, just recently I was in Oklahoma and in Chicago and got to video recorded the Oklahoma Assembly there. So a lot of people capture video of different things that are happening in their assembly, in their state, or maybe in some location of some kind. And so there's another type of service you need to have, and that's some type of video posting service. And then what a lot of people know of is YouTube.com, which is a good service, and that can be utilized. For our Arizona, we actually have our YouTube channel. We have a URL called PatriotsUnitedNow.com. You type that in, and that will actually go to our YouTube channel. We have a lot of documentaries there, some that are not actually on our website, but we post a lot of different things there, interviews and interesting facts. The Oklahoma Assembly will be posted there, so if people are interested in watching that, and other things that are interesting related to the Republic. Other websites that are like that is Vimeo, which is Vimeo.com. It's very similar to YouTube. They also have, it's very much the same like YouTube, where you can upload videos, post them, and embed them in websites. But just wanted to share that. That's another thing to think of as far as setting up your media system in a free state. But I'm open to questions if anybody has any.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Brad. Those are just great insights, and I recognize that you've really helped our state move along with all of the technology that you've brought, and you've just been a real blessing like that. Now, didn't you also just video the president's land patents?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. Is that something that's going to be for in-house, or is that?
That will be available. I spoke to the president and Tim Pledger. I haven't been updated on when that will be available, but I have.
Very
and I
good.
Can't wait to get it out there because it's exciting.
Yeah, and in all your spare time, right?
Yeah, I know.
All right, Laura, if there are calls coming in the queue, do you like to tell folks how they can come on the question and answers and then start to field them?
If you would *6 to come into queue, I will pick on you as soon as you enter and the previous person is finished with their question. We have one person in the queue right now, Robert.
Go ahead. Take the first caller. Gene Schroeder. Good evening.
Yes, thank you. Yes, he was stating that there was a website that we could go see, like the Oklahoma Assembly video. What website was that?
Well, it isn't posted yet, but it's going to be PatriotsUnitedNow.com. That's our Arizona's YouTube channel, and we're actually going to post the entire assembly that I recorded in Oklahoma.
Okay. Now that name again. Somebody came on and spoke electronically, and I didn't get that name again.
PatriotsUnitedNow.com.
Okay,
and
thank
you. You type that in, that goes right to our YouTube channel. It's just a forward to our YouTube channel.
Okay, and that will become available when?
Within a week or so.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Brad, we had talked before this call about putting together an information sheet with links and things on it. Is that something that after this call, maybe we can add any others that contributors have on this call and then shoot that over to Janine and then have it sent out so that everyone who gets the email can have it as a resource?
I am actually looking at it right now, and I'll send it to you guys after the call.
Okay, just in case other people want to add stuff to it as the call unfolds here. Okay.
No problem.
Thank you, Gene. Next caller, King David, or David King. I'm not sure which it is. If you here with your slingshot and your sandals, David.
Oh, yes, indeed. Willing to take on the giants that are coming my way. yeah.
Awesome.
This is David King from Virginia. And I'd like to ask about your opinion on methods of recruiting people for the Republic, like maybe what language to use, what is good, what is permissible. Because when I'm out in the public and I'm talking to people that never heard of the Republic, there's so much of a fear faction out there. People tell me that, well, I'd be afraid to do something like that, you know, for fear of repercussions, being charged of treason and stuff like that.
Do you want me to answer that, Robert? Or?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I have a background in psychology, so this is kind of from that. People, there's different levels of where people are at with things such as the Republic. Some people let fear control their lives. So something fearful, they stay away. But there's some people, which I call them, I guess the best way to describe them is rascals. People that are, when they see something wrong, they want to do something about it. And I think it's really, if you're, as far as recruitment, it depends on where you're going to do that. You want to seek out these people that have been wronged, or they know something's not right, and they want to do something about it. Where do you go to find those people? And I think that, you know, here in Arizona, we have seeked different groups, whether they were Tea Party kind of groups or other patriot-type groups. And right away, they get what we're talking about, and they've been waiting for somebody to mention something like the Republic a long time ago. So I think it's where you go to recruit. To explain the Republic is not an easy thing. It's a gradual process. And I think as far as the enlightenment of it, really has to come from themselves. You can't really force anybody to understand what we're doing. They need to read the material. They need to watch some videos. They need to jump into it so they see it for themselves. And those people really get involved. So it's kind of a combination of those things. But maybe, Robert, if you have some other things to add to that.
Well, I have a couple of things. One is the training that comes out of Missouri. And it's kind of an elevator speech. And you kind of qualify somebody up front in a real simple way. So don't even ask them directly. It's like, who do you know who I can talk to who's interested in restoring, returning our country to the Constitution so we can move forward with integrity? And just a simple question, open-ended question like that, they'll either say, yeah, I am. Tell me more about it. Or they'll say, well, you got to go and talk to Jack. Jack's a guy in our community who's just really on fire for stuff like that. So I think, you know, being attentive to who your audience is and who you're really trying to target, because you could spend hours and hours and hours talking to somebody who's a tire kicker and really not interested in the Republic. Their psychology is that of a complainer. They want to complain and moan and groan about the circumstance and hope to heavens that you know, things are going to change in Washington, but they don't really see themselves as being part of the solution. So kind of qualifying them up front to see if they are somebody who is interested in engaging in a solution is really, I think, a key part of it. And the second thing that comes to my mind is I did some training years ago, probably mid-80s, and it was a fellow by the name of James E. Tolleson, and he gave a really good statement that's always stuck with me. He said, only when a person wants, needs, and sincerely appreciates your help can you truly help him. So I say that to be mindful of, you know, as you spend your time talking to people, realize that some are really clearly potential for the Republic, and some would just be dead wood. And just discerning that's part of, I think, part of the journey, the recruiting journey.
See, Robert, can I add one more piece?
You sure can.
Yeah. One other thing that answered the gentleman's question is that what the Republic is doing, people throw fear, you know, hey, I wouldn't do that because it's too scary. But one thing that we're doing, why people haven't been bothered, because I want to actually clear this up. Some of the calls, sometimes people say, oh, people have been jailed for something. When you hear something like that, one of the first questions you got to ask is what that was for. Because sometimes it has nothing to do with the Republic at all. And sometimes because they're in the Republic, they think it's because they're in the Republic that they went to jail or they were wronged in some way. Yet maybe it was 2 years before they got involved or many years before they got involved, they're getting in some legal situation that relates to that. So some people get into fear mode that way. But I think the best way is obviously seeing what the fear is doing and educating people that the Republic is doing everything lawfully. We're going through a lawful process, and we have been for over 2 years now. And so that's something to explain to people, that through the fear piece, that this is a two-year process, over 2 years, and thousands of people are involved, and we need their help.
So you mentioned about maybe not needing to spend hours out there. And so I've thought about running an ad. Any opinion on that, or if it might be a good thing, or if so, what wording?
Yeah, I think that qualifier, if you listen to Mark Hafner's intro, he said it real simply. You could put a one line that says something like, who do you know who, or are you interested in returning the country to the Constitution? For more information, contact such and such. Or some words to that effect. Or do you find the founding documents of our country important? You know, and then name the four founding documents. And and put your phone number, you know, or your website for your state would be a couple of thoughts that I'd have.
Robert?
Yes, go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, I'd like to tell David, David's from my state, that the republicofvirginia.org website has both of the videos that Mark Hafner from Missouri did, and so he can go there and listen to those. It's republicofvirginia.org. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, great.
Very good. And I haven't are there any other questions there, David?
No, that's good. That's some very good advice. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Rick Weiner has come back on Skype to give the answer to the question that was posed earlier regarding the de facto corporation. And his answer is Corpus Juris Secundum, Volume 38, and colon, it doesn't say any more than that. Just don't know the specific site. So if someone knows the specific site, it's Corpus Juris Secundum, Volume 38.
Robert, yes, you can Google that statement and you'll be able to find it, a PDF of that volume.
Oh, very good. Okay. All right, Laura, are we ready with the next caller?
Yes, sir.
Dee Young, good evening.
Good evening. Hello, Robert.
Hi there.
Hi, Robert. I have a question for whomever, but specifically for Rick Weiner or whoever knows this answer. I have a friend who is in New York. I am in Texas, who would like to join the Republic just like me in Texas. I have been on previous calls, Robert, and have spoke with you and Rick Weiner specifically. Good night, baby. And when you go to the Republic website, which she has done, to sign up, it says, quote, somebody will contact you within 24 hours. Now, she is very knowledgeable in the Constitution and everything else and would be a great asset in the state of New York, but has had no reply to as what to do. And my question is who is the contact person, if there is a contact person for the state of New York?
Very good. I'm laughing because we are so close in so many ways, and yet we're miles from the goal. I thought our governor over there is Brad. Can you help me out on that? Who's the governor?
Larry Jabbers.
Yeah. Larry Jabbers. She has actually emailed him, and it has been approximately 4 days or more. Stating, or she signed up, and I gave her the contact information via email from the website, and she has had no response. I'm only telling you this because she is a great person with a very knowledgeable about the constitutional law. And my other question, unlike me in the state of Texas, which there are many of us who have been led astray, are looking for who's the contact person in Texas, and a lot of people don't know. Okay, when you don't get a reply from the Republic website, what do you do?
You know, those are really good questions. And firstly, I want to apologize. I know there's only a handful of us who respond to emails. I field the questions at Republic when I can. I know Janine Stewart and Rick Weiner handle the RRB admin questions. Ideally, this is what happens. You send an inquiry in. It gets forwarded to the state. It used to be that Phyllis McGuyan would take that, and because Congress voted that there need to be 5 contact people in each state, those inquiries were then forwarded to the 5 people who were the contact people in that state. Now, I'm not in the Records Bureau any longer, and so I don't know the protocol, and Janine is not on this call tonight to be able to answer that question, and Rick is on another call. Perhaps, Laura, you could Skype him and see
Robert,
if he'll...
Robert, can I help with that
actually,
a little bit?
Yeah, you should.
Actually,
Kendra.
I just got back, but go ahead, Brad.
Oh, I was going to say that republicfornewyork.org, they have a website there under Contact Us. Have her fill that out, and it'll email that to them. I mean, that'd just be another avenue of contact.
We've already done that, and
okay.
Nothing has transpired. Just like me, I've been waiting 3 years for somebody to contact me. I get, and my concern really strictly is, and I know everybody in the Republic is working 10 times what they, you know, what a normal person works. And I just want to be an integral part of the Republic, and I still do not get the call information. I don't get any of the emails, anything. I am meeting with Wade Butler tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, whichever fits his schedule, to sit down and have a conference. But my main concern is there are, like, people that were in the Republic under James Wright that were in Nebraska this past weekend wondering what happened to the Republic in Texas, and they don't know where to go.
All right. Well, Rick is back on the call. So, Rick, let's lay it out not just for Dee, but for all the callers. What's the protocol if they want to get a response? Her friend in New York has been 5 days waiting from a response from the governor, wants to join, is a strong constitutionalist. And what happened to the contact 5 people? Each inquiry went to 5 people in the state. And what's changed now? How's it working?
We're trying to reestablish who the contacts are in New York. I've just wrote myself a note. I was actually Skyping Susan to see if we had any updates or anybody that she was contacting there. I recognize your voice that's on here asking these questions from Texas. May
yes.
I have your name again?
My name is Dawn Young. That's from Texas.
Dawn, I remember that. We actually have been working with Wade and another individual. What we're going to do in the states that don't have contacts right this minute, we're going to set up what we used to call a coordinator, somebody that you can work back and forth with.
Right.
And I've got your email here.
Yes,
you
do.
I've got the email that you sent me to me before. And what I will do is I will ensure that coordinator is online by tomorrow.
Okay.
And then if I can get the information on your friend in New York, and what they'll do is that'll give the ability for Robert, anybody that gets questions or anything else, they'll give them a central place to start sending these to and get your areas going.
One question, Rick. Can I send you an email with this person's email address and phone numbers so that you may or whomever may contact her?
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly where I was going with that.
Okay. Second question. Since I spoke to you on the roundtable 2 weeks or so ago on a Sunday, I had went to all the websites that you told me to go to print out the form to sign up to be sovereign, and even included the Texas website. The Texas website has then since been canceled, or I am no longer able to obtain any documents, the DSR or the JC forms to fill out and have, and you know, and you know what I mean.
Yes, ma'am. Janine built me a new onboarding package that I'm going to put a hands into this coordinator, And that way you will have all of the documents you will need. The only thing that will end up happening is as the state, for instance, Texas gets back on its feet and we have different people, there may be, you know, a document that is county specific or something like that that may be brought on. But we are moving more towards an affidavit style rather than a declaration style system. Congress is not quite finalized it, but as you probably already know, an affidavit would be a personal statement by you. It does have the law forms on it, so you can look it over, and we can discuss it in your particular situation in Texas, or actually the coordinator. And what we'll do is we'll give them as much information as we can, give them an open communication between me and Robert and the president and different things so that we can get you guys going, Don.
Okay, one question. When will I know this is available, or how do I obtain this? And secondly, if I go ahead and fill out the form that I received or got before the website was shut down and submit it to you, would that be viable?
Yes, ma'am, because Robert, I think, or I can't remember, maybe it was Jim Fitzgerald once said, all roads lead to the Bureau, because records eventually would end up here. and so, yes, that would be apropos, because we actually have got a Dropbox, and we would start populating that with your particular documents, and then as it expanded, we'd have them all there. So, yes, that is appropriate, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, Don, I just want to thank you for being so persistent, 3 years at this, and wanting to join, and so you're like a racehorse at the gate here, and I just commend you for sticking in there and persisting. A lot of what we've gone through, and I kind of want to address it from a bigger perspective here. We have done a lot of we've tried. And we've had false starts, and then we've modified it and gone with that for a while, and then realized we had to modify that and change some things. And so the whole process is it is a work in progress, and it is, your intention is clear, and for a lot of folks, their intention is clear. We had one fellow who came to our state, to our Congress, to our local Congress. He went to a meeting we had, I don't know, maybe eight people auditing the Congress in our state. And he'd been coming to our meeting for, I think, 6 or 8 months. And he says, yeah, I want to join. He says, I just can't get the paperwork. I said, you're kidding me. He says, no. So at that meeting, there we were. We were at where we had access, we thought, to the documents and the thumbprint thing, the stamp pad, the whole thing. It took us 20 minutes to find the paperwork and get it organized to just be able to put him in front of the guy. And then he had a dinner appointment, so he wasn't able to do it. And it was just a classic example of how we're still getting ourselves organized. And so it has to happen at a state level. So if you're meeting with Wade and you can start being his right-hand person there, that'll be a huge blessing.
I just want to thank you all for working so hard in the Republic. I have been at this for almost three and a half years, and it has been extremely frustrating at times, knowing what the state of Texas has gone through, originally being from Minnesota. It appears to me that it was easier in Minnesota, and I should have done it way before now. But, again, I know everybody's on overload. And, you know, for all the new people out there, just hang in there and be persistent, and you'll get the job done. And I just want to say, you know, bless all the people in the Republic that have been working overtime tenfold, and it's a great thing that's about to happen.
Amen to that. Thank you, Don.
Hey, thank you.
Laura.
Next caller is Jay Jones.
Oh, no, you can't let him in here. Please.
Too bad you didn't say it too quick enough.
Hi, Jay.
How's everybody tonight?
Very good.
Two
two quick statements, I guess, more so than questions. If you don't mind, I know everybody has their own theories and things about the Republic and how to build it, but to answer David King's question, in my way of thinking is, if you have a business, you can build your business one of two ways. You can talk down about your competition, or you can talk about how good you are. And in this Republic, if we go around spreading what the de facto is doing and all those terrible things and this and that, all we're really doing is instilling fear. But if we talk about the good things of the Republic and what we're doing, we're instilling faith. Nothing's ever been built out of fear except, what I say, a hiding place. So we should be building this Republic on faith and the good things that are happening. I may get in trouble for saying this, but it's okay. Even the Bible talks about the goodness of God leads us to repentance. So the goodness of this Republic is what's going to build it, not the sorriness of the de facto or any other thing that they want to, be doing to us. That is what it is, and that's all about that. But the second statement I want to make is concerning Brad. Brad, thank you for all you're doing. And I heard someone talking about the conference calls. Well, in North Carolina, we just experienced a real awakening to the fact that we were recording all of our calls, but nobody was downloading them. And so we actually changed services, and when we changed services and there was a lapse of time, all those calls got erased. And and I'm sure there's some other states that may be doing that. And so if every time you have a call, I think you're going to have to somewhere be downloading it, because I'm not sure how long these programs archive their calls. And that was my question to Brad this on this free conference. Does anybody know how long the calls are actually archived?
Yes. 6 months.
6 months. Okay. Yeah. Now, if you lose your service, basically, can you still go back and get those calls, do you think, or do you know? Or
I haven't heard anybody doing it, but if I was in the same scenario, I'd call the customer service for freeconferencing.com. There's a number on the website, and maybe they have a way of restoring those.
Okay.
Jay, is it within 30 days?
No, sir. It's probably 8 months out.
May not be possible, but always, like Brad said, worth a call. We did have a situation where we quit using one for 30 days, and I did call them, and they did still have a record of it from the standpoint of, sometimes people don't use them for a while. And so it's worth a call to find out, but you're right. You have to actively have your records keeper go in on there and actually download that, not just create a URL, but actually download the call physically and store it somewhere.
Okay, that sounds right. We're going to do that now, but it's a lot of things that probably should have been recorded that we may have lost. We'll check into it and see. Thank you so much, and I yield the floor.
Well, Rick, Jay, one other thing is, if you go into free conferencing and you go to the downloads there, I think you can run a date range, and as you run the date range, it'll show you all the recordings that you have there. And as Rick says, you can take those and just download those. In fact, I make the policy after each show, I just go in there and download the current show onto my hard drive. So no matter what else happens, if it's there, I've got a record of it.
Right. What I was thinking is a lot of our minutes, and we were brought to another point that I never heard this until recently, that, everything that we do, of course, I know it's the right thing to do, don't get me wrong, but the word validation began to come out of the Records Bureau, and everything seemed to have to be validated, and, all these minutes that we're taking and the recordings, we think maybe because they're being recorded that's a validation, but somewhere, they may have to be put down in a written form or either downloaded somewhere, because if those records were to get lost in your state or you change services or something, there's just no record. And I think it's important that in the beginning of this Republic that we keep all of our records. And one other question, I had this question asked to me today, and Rick, I'm glad you're here, you make an answer. The September 23rd, 2010 call, Is that anywhere that we can go and listen to that? Some people want to hear that, and that were not in the Republic at that time. They want to hear the president being elected. And
The answer to that is yes. However, it's not anywhere where I can get to it easily. It's archived into several places, and it's not anywhere that I could easily get to right now. We're building databases between myself, Rios. Kelby's got a lot of things. Actually, there's a storeroom, a garage storeroom I know of that has hard drives sitting in it that we can pull online that has a lot of those records. No, I don't have easy access to it. If you will send me an email, it happens to be something that the president even asked about the other day, if that was still around. And like I said, I assure you it's been backed up a couple of places, but as able to stick our hands on it and let somebody listen to it, it's going to take a little bit of time, but that will give me the impetus to get it because you're not the first that's asked about it, sir.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, the president was asking me about it. I said, I asked him why did he need it. No, I'm kidding. But some people did want to listen to that. Yeah. But we'll check in that later. Thank you so much.
As for your validation question of minutes being on a record like that, that is correct. A lot of the states are actually we expanded Dropbox to allow the states to keep an extra copy of their minutes, not only their written minutes but their recorded minutes. I know of several states that are actually doing that also, and that is a valid way to go back for any of their records keeper. It is time consuming, but it is a valid way to validate your record, sir.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, indeed, we'll accept that and receive that blessing, Jay. Thanks, sir. We're at the 90-minute mark in our call, but we have quite a few callers left in the queue, so let's be a little briefer with our questions and responses, and go ahead, Laura.
The next person is John Ward. Go ahead, John.
Hello, Robert, and fellow Republicans.
Hi, John.
I use that complimentary, not derogatorily, with a political party there. there's a few things I would like to ask here without taking too much time. I don't like to assume too much, and I like to investigate ahead of time before we jump into the lake, so to speak, you know, and maybe strike a rock. Is there any possibility of getting a meeting, say, with someone that's appropriate in that vicinity? Now, we've all been told, I think, in the past that there's the information from the military and so forth, but that's gone from... Originally, we had support from the military to, well, now it seems that there's some in favor of us, some not. That can be highly risky, especially with the NDAA that they de facto passed not too long ago, and expatriation, et cetera. So my main question on that is, can we find an... someone, say from Virginia, Maryland, in that area where they're already in that vicinity, to get a meeting with the appropriate military authority and get a clear statement, in writing preferably, because that holds up in court if it should ever come to a court situation. In which they state that, yes, we are on solid ground, and that as long as we proceed peacefully, that there will be no repercussions and so forth. I think that's very reasonable, and it's very risky in the most serious sense if we assume too much in these regards at this time. So I don't think it's appropriate for especially the people in the leadership of this organization, to have us assume that there are no problems likely to develop, and just proceed. And in effect, what we're doing, we're proceeding on hope and not real sound knowledge. When someone, I think one of the earlier fellows, that might have been David, I'm not sure, spoke of fear, it isn't a matter of fear. I don't think we should fear, or don't think we should confuse the concept of fear with what I would consider an approach of wisdom, in which investigation is carried out in advance of anything we're doing, which could be misinterpreted. You know, we know what we're doing, and we know that we're being peaceful and so forth, but that's our perspective. And those who wish to misconstrue it can, you know, if they have the power, and I don't mean the legitimate authority, but the power, then they can take steps that can be extremely unfortunate for us. So I think I've said enough on that. Is there anyone that could give me a response to that right now?
Thank you for your comments, John. I think Ranger Rick's on the call. Do you want to respond to that?
Yes, sir. I can jump in on that. To answer your question, sir, we have still remained in contact with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the standing invitation that the president verified here just recently is at the moment that certain things happen at the other world governments, it's not anything that we have to go in and ask permission for. It is a situation where a simple protocol recognition type thing goes into place, at which time we have already been told by the funders themselves that these military gentlemen are standing by waiting, and of course we can't do anything, confirm, tell the people anything until those particular meetings happen. But yes, they are in the offing. Yes, the offer is still open. Yes, the door is still open. And same thing as the funding. Once we do certain things that have to be done in a worldwide government type situation, having to do with different things, recognition being one of them, then we will be able to have an answer that is a lot better, a lot more precise, sir.
Could you or someone else put something in writing from a someone in the military with authority to grant us liberty to do what we're doing in a peaceful manner? I don't think that's asking too much, considering this NDAA and such. Okay.
Right, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like I said, once we get to a certain stage, then all of that can be taken care of. We have actually been given the protocols that need to be taken care of. We've got the transition plan. We've got budgeting and everything else that goes along. They have already been made aware of it because we needed to know what they would have to be able. And that was the other thing. They virtually approached us and said, you got the funding. We're not getting paid. We're not paying our people overseas. So that's where we're at, sir.
Well, you... You just kind of walk right by the concept of getting some written statement of immunity. I think is a good word there for us, and that should be done in advance of any further proceeding on our part. Not that I want to hold things back, but I think
would agree with you wholeheartedly, sir, but the problem is, you know, who are we at this point? Yes, we've put it together, and yes, it's out there, and they've been monitoring us closely, but that would literally be a contract. Anything like what you're talking about is a contract, and we are not in a position to where we could get any kind of written statement from them regarding anything. We have come to them and said – We're following the Constitution.
I don't.
Yeah,
think
I think John. I think John. I'd like to weigh in on this as well. Over 20 years ago, I worked with retired police officer Jack McLam, and he has been teaching military and police officers throughout the country for at least 25 years, probably more like 35 years, about the Constitution and how it's important for all of our military, wherever they are, and those who are representing the law, to be educated in the Constitution. We are all we are simply doing in the Republic is reasserting our God-given, unalienable rights, and we are formulating and organizing ourselves. And to feel that we need to be in fear of those who are defending our nation and who have given their life and their blood over the years, and to suppose that there isn't a backbone of constitutionally principled and fiercely freedom-minded military folks who are just waiting for things to be in such a way that they can stand strong under the colors. I think it speaks too much fear if we are worried that we can't move forward, not trusting that our fellow brothers and sisters who are serving alongside us in the military aren't there with our best interests at heart.
Well, why then would they in this NDAA situation and the fusion centers, et cetera, refer to constitutionalists as terrorists? I believe it would be appropriate to say. Now, does anyone question that that has never happened?
Well, we have our governor from Arizona who joined the administration as the Homeland Security head. And she talks about anyone who carries a Bible, a gun, or the Constitution as a terrorist. So, you know, this is not surprising that that there are people who are speaking that. But the bottom line is there are those who are building the New World Order agenda, and they will rattle their sabers and say their whole deal. You got to choose which side you stand on. The bottom line is all of us. And, yes, you're absolutely correct. I think we need to be prudent. We need to be go in with our eyes open, but to wait for the water to be safe from the standpoint of having an assurance that you're never going to take any flack, the Band of 300, who were they? That held Thermopylae. What do you call those guys? My brain just went dead. The Spartans.
Oh,
thank you. The Spartans. Yeah.
I would just like to finish what I have to say in making a statement that if no one has requested such a written statement from an appropriate authority, then I think it should be attempted.
John, I'm sorry. We're going to have to go ahead and move on to the next question. We've been more than 15 minutes on this one question here, sir. And if we get better answers for you, we'll sure get it to you, sir.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate your care and your concern. All right. Next caller, Patricia. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to make it brief. I appreciate what you're doing. Several years, it was in the early 90s to mid-90s, that my pastor invested some money for me, unbeknownst to me, that it was an organization that involved an awful lot of money and that everybody was going to be well taken care of. And so for years, everybody has been looking for this money to come through, and we get all kinds of reasons why it's not here yet. And the group has identical goals as a republic. They're absolutely identical. And I don't know if you've heard of Nasara or not, but is there any connection between Nasara and the republic? Do you know?
Absolutely, there is not. I can tell you 100,000%, 100,000,000% that there is no connection between that. The funders that we're dealing with are the actual funders that you can actually trace their history back to Solomon's Gold.
Mm-hmm.
He had 17 wives that were empowered to take that gold and bring it out, and he apparently knew from his relationship with the Lord and other things that there were going to be all these nations, and they actually had a plan and set that aside many, many thousands of years ago. And those are the very people that we finally, they actually contacted us and explained the whole thing to you. So no, those things that have to do with Nisar and everything else have to do with hypothecation and there's other rumors or beings or things that are tied into that. We're not connected with those at all, ma'am. And from your first part of your question, it is still the intention of the president and the Congress to figure out some way to help fund, especially those people that have been hanging with us for this year and a half now, with back pays and all sorts of things. But we'll have to find an accountable means to do it and a fair means. Does that help?
Well, yes. I was just concerned because they were identical goals, and there are some strange beliefs that's New Age that you probably know about. And there were several of us concerned that the Republic was connected to that because they also talking about world peace with all the nations and just like the Republic is doing. So,
Yes, like my daughter pointed out to me today, the beauty pageant always talks about world peace too.
Yeah.
So I understand exactly where you're coming from, but the answer is categorically no. We're not tied in with Nisara any way, form, or manner. But on the flip side, I can't tell you whether Nisara is tied in with other groups other than us. But I can tell you that we are not, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate your answer
and
your time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Patricia, there's another aspect to it as well, and that is God works in many ways with many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who are called. People are called to similar things, but when it all comes, the rubber meets the road, there's we are called specifically to our niche in life. And the only other similarity group that I'm thinking about is the ones who, Leo Wanta, the guy who did all of the investing for, or basically brought down Russia and had all the invested funds from President Reagan. And apparently all these funds are waiting to be collected.
Mm-hmm.
And, so there's a lot of folks who are out there who want change and want good on the planet. Some got, you know, divergent beliefs from me, but I think a lot of folks are heading in the same direction, and that's a good thing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Laura, our next caller.
Next question, caller is a cell phone from Oregon. Would you state your name, please?
This is Justice Darrell Bowles. My question is, you earlier in the call, there was a reference made to the ecclesiastical courts to be set up to run in parallel with the de facto court system. And I was wondering if at this time, is there any training material or websites that the justices around the country can go to so that they are educated in the ecclesiastical court system and how that actually will operate, if anybody knows.
The plans are there. They actually have the justice website that they're building and putting together. That information is being gathered as quick as we can. Do we have it right now for the justices to go to? No. I know John Gorla and Nathan are working together hand in hand. I know John is getting that information put together and is going to restart and send out to all of the justices the education calls that they had going prior to the December. And that's the best answer I can give you right this minute, sir.
Thank you.
All right, our next caller, area code 314.
Hi, Robert. This is Pat Walter from St. Louis.
Hi, Pat.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to briefly maybe address the lady from Texas about her friend attempting to join. One, I think there's a small misnomer when they go to Nation's website, it says Join the Republic, and they click on Join the Republic, and they fill out a form for their state, and then send that. And I think that just recently we get all of the contacts, or I do, and Larry gets all of the contacts through Phyllis still. I get them on a regular basis. She emails them to Larry and I, and then we contact those people. But I think the most, what we find a lot is that people think that they've actually joined already by filling out the form, because we had one lady that contacted us this week actually through Phyllis and sent us various emails, and she was going on and on and on about the fact that she's already joined and she's this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I never even heard of her before. And that's, I guess, my only issue with the Nation website saying Join the Republic. I think it should, you know, maybe say inquire with your state or something, and then fill out the form, because they haven't really joined anything.
Yep, Pat, this is Rick. You're right. Would you pop me an email just with that subject line in it? Janine and I actually had talked about doing that this last fall, and we got diverted off of that. If you wouldn't mind just sending me just a quick email to the rrb.admin at Republic of. And we talked about that. Kelby was going to change that a year ago, and he kind of turned things over to me, so that's my fault. And we talked about it. The president even asked me a year ago to do something about it. So I apologize to you and Don and all the people. You're absolutely 100% right. Robert kind of, you know, covered things earlier when he said that, you know, on questions and everything else, there's a few of us doing this, but that is definitely one of the areas that needs to be cleaned up. Thank you for bringing it up again.
Yippee!
I'll be happy to do that. It just seems that if you know, whoever Phyllis has as the contacts for the state, she definitely, I give her a A+. I mean, she definitely sends out those emails on a regular basis to Missouri, so I know if she has the proper contacts to send them to, she does. So I don't know, you know, the states need to tell Phyllis who to send those to, I guess. But I yield, and thank you.
I'm sorry, Robert. We've got 32-plus states that have their state contact forms, and so it makes it real easy for her, Missouri being one of them. Then we have states like Texas that haven't quite got there. New York, though, Susan's reported to me that New York does have contact people, and we will get that information from Don Young and get it on up to him. I think Paulo is doing a bang-up job and catching up with us, too. So it's nice that we're having these bits and pieces of conversation, Pat, because there are areas that we're to the point we do need to take care of, and this happens to be one of them. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Very good. We have about three callers left. Our next caller, Laura.
Okay. Mr. or Ms. Foley?
So, Lorian, hi, from Indiana. As you had mentioned earlier, there have been several false starts, apparently at the national level as well as state, and Indiana is no exception. I would just like to clarify where my question is based on before I ask it, is that I've been trying to discover how many Records Bureau sites there were, and I have found links to four of them, and even found what I thought was an obsolete link to have been updated recently. And within Indiana, in our several false starts that we've had since I became involved over a year ago, records have been transferred and lost and found several times. So now we're at the point where I'm hearing lots of talk about the ASR. I have not seen a copy of it yet. And I've had others among, you know, with myself who are still involved with Indiana, wondering what's happened to our original DSRs, and a little bit irritated with the idea that anyone can pass retroactive changes to people who have already gone through the pain, in some cases several times. I know one individual who literally submitted their paperwork 6 times, but I'm now amongst those who have thought that we had completed paperwork and everything was, you know, copacetic. And now we're hearing another set of papers being required for people to rejoin, which is not music to my ears. What can anyone tell me about our original DSRs, and why are they not still valid?
They are still valid. This is like the next step going in there, sir. As you know, and I stated before, an affidavit is much stronger than a declaration. Through our legal counselor, through our ecclesiastical courts, we have found that it would be very beneficial to all of our members for us to take the next step, and this would be an addition to a strengthening maneuver behind our Declaration of Sovereign Intent. The Declaration of Independence didn't do anything for us other than declare this is what we were going to do, get rid of King George. What did put that into place was the actual Constitution. What did further things is when people actually had something tangible to hang on to, and over the period of years, the affidavit has proven to be the most powerful document that you can use on an individual basis. Now, does that remove you from the Republic? Absolutely not. Like I said, it is a strengthening step. It is a next step. It is an area that has had been looked at very, very closely by Congress because of the whole idea of immigration and creating the correct documentation for doing that. So I understand your pain. I've got a lot of states that people simply walked away and the original DSRs were lost or given away or are sitting in somebody's closet. And so what we are doing with the records keepers at this point, we say please take an electronic record and give the original back to the member. And therefore they can be responsible for their own paperwork. And I know that is kind of a roundabout answer to your question. Can you kind of rephrase it and let me answer it more specific, sir?
Well, Rick, just one thing I want to clarify if I can before he comes back on to clarify it, and that is it's a little bit cart before the horse here as far as the affidavit, because Congress still has not passed the affidavit. Is that correct? There's still discussions about that right now?
What they're doing is they're looking for the most appropriate wording. And as you know, Robert, an affidavit is a personal statement. And so Congress literally – the discussion is open. Mark, is Mark Lunsbury still on here? Mark, are you still available?
I don't know if he called in on the – let me just look here.
If Mark is there, bring him up, but because he has a better handle on it than I do. There has been a plethora of conversation and debate and research on that, because literally they couldn't put down a particular document that has maybe a particular word, because we would never want it to be misconstrued as you have to be to this religion, or you have to be to this, or you have to be to that. The Constitution does not specify that you have to have a certain document. It has to be your will, your that intent. Laura's on that. Laura Murphy's on here. She's on that committee. Laura, can you kind of give us a little insight to that better?
It has been a long, hard task for everyone on the committee. It's the Education, Integration, and Immigration Committee, along with the Constitutional Studies Committee, jointly working on that document to make sure that the wording is appropriate, to make sure that it is an attest to our law form, to make sure that the wording is not exclusive of any group or people and inclusive of all. We're in a certain position right now in our country because we now have two governments on this land. And actually, if you consider that the Native Americans are, in fact, a third government, then you would have three on this land. And so these documents, we have to make sure that not only those that are immigrating into this country, but those that are already here for our people, that it will be a protection as well as the truth be put out there for the people. And we've been meeting twice a week. We met Wednesday, and we did make a great strides in agreement to what we thought was appropriate wording for the document. In fact, we voted at the end to make sure that everybody was in agreement, and then now we can move on. That was a great, great milestone. We'll meet again this week, and hopefully, I can't swear to it, but hopefully we'll be able to bring it before Congress on before Tuesday so that they will have an opportunity to read it before we meet on Tuesday. I hope
okay.
that answers your question.
Well, Mr. Falarian, I think that's the future thinking. I'm still wondering if you have your question answered in terms of the four sites that have data on them, and are you a member of the Republic if your documents are the original DSR? Was that part of your question?
It's actually Lauren Foley.
Yes, Lauren. Okay, thank you. Yes, your answer is very specific and helpful. It's approximately 80% of it related to it. As I'm currently learning about correct syntax of law forms, and I just wondered if, as an adjunct to my question, when the ASR is made available, is anyone looking at it from the point of view of syntax? Because I'm been finding a lot of material explaining how most, if not all, historical law forms are not syntactically correct and literally do not say what people think they say. And so since we've had so many false starts, you've answered part of my question in that the ASR is not yet available. That was going to be what I wanted to find out, where I can find it. Now I'd just like to know more about whether it will lead to another restart, you know, because I understand this is nobody's got a book to go by to guide, and this is an amazing achievement. I really thank all of you for the dedication you put into this. I'm not trying to challenge anybody. I'm just trying to become as clear as I can on the matter.
Well, you know, you're speaking right after my.
May I add just a little bit more to that?
Yeah, just one second. I want to say, Lauren, you speak to my heart with this, because from the very start, there has been some of us who have wanted very much definitions to be included with the declaration. It was originally part of it. They fell off it. And then you've got, you know, what is the meaning of what's in the declaration? Now we're getting more refined. We're realizing, no, actually, an affidavit is more powerful. It stands as on its face and less contested point by point. So it's clearly a more powerful format. But once again, along with that affidavit, I pray that we have our definitions pages included on it, because otherwise in one generation, language will change and people will be playing with it.
Robert, there are definitions. We are working on that. It's certain words that are hot buttons, which it's not like every word in the document will be defined, but the most definite words that people have picked out that could possibly be key words, we are working on those, and we also have to keep in mind the intent of the documents. Correct syntax is a good thing, but I think I only know of two or three people that know how to work within that language. So We have to base it on the intent that was in place when this document was or will be voted upon. So with that in mind, I think we can go forward in good faith. I yield.
Thank you. I'd just like to add one small adjunct to my question. I've just learned about this David Wynn Miller, who apparently has been around for decades. And he was even the one who President Clinton had been studying for a couple of years when he went through the hearing in Congress, private hearing, and came up with his, it depends on the definition of is. So is anyone in your ASR committee, I understand you already partially answered this. You said you don't know too many people that are familiar with the syntax, but by any chance, are you able to benefit from either David Wynn Miller himself or someone who has studied under him?
I can answer to that, Laura.
Okay.
He has been around for a long time. The president is familiar with him. I'm familiar with him. We've studied his material. There are some areas that are good, and there are some areas that, for lack of a better word, are patriot myths, sir. And his intention is good, but as you follow him through his quote-unquote court cases and his use of syntax and things like that, he has had some wins and he's had some losses, or he's had some dismissals. And he talks about a lot of his wins if things were dismissed. Well, that's not true. All of us should know that in the de facto court, if they don't want something to become case law, they will generally dismiss it, and that is definitely not a win. And so, yes, sir, there's a lot of us that have looked into and understood that, but from what Laura is talking about, we need to keep this at literally a fourth, fifth grade English level so that the wording is not to the point where it would take somebody with an education in syntax or things like that. So I do appreciate the fact that you brought it up, and there are people that have looked into that, and we don't feel like that it would strengthen or detract from the document if the syntax wasn't 100% correct. The definitions that she's talking about and the intent is what's going to make it literally a living document, sir.
Well, thank you. You answered my question 100%, and I actually concur with what I just heard you give as a quick assessment. I'm not a follower of him. I'm just impressed because I just barely discovered him, and so I'm glad to know that you people have known about him long before I have, and that the issues that he brings up you're addressing. So thank you again for everything you've done.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, Laura, going on to our – we have one or two callers left?
Yes, Mark Gardner, you're on.
Yeah, this is Representative Mark Gardner in Nevada. And I guess there's been a lot of discussion about problems with communication in the Republic, which is definitely something we're trying to address with a special think tank that's working on the problem. It's working on the membership processing, an automated system, and then we – have a little bit of a plan for communications thing. Right now, if I could give a little bit of a status update, we have a mind map that's completed. We have a PowerPoint presentation that matches the mind map that we're just doing some formatting stuff on. We're hoping to get the IT guys to develop a prototype. And I know that Robert and Rick were on the committee and I need to talk with you guys about getting that process developed from the architecture stage to the developmental stage of the program, get the IT prototypes up and kind of stuff. So, I was wondering, Rick, could you give us a little bit of an update on the American Rangers? What I know that the committee was dissolved that was doing some particular work, and then what are you guys planning on now from this point?
We actually have the Enabling Act for the American Rangers pretty much to the stage where we're going to bring it before a committee to make sure that it is actually properly worded so that it can go to Congress and put that Enabling Act into place. We actually are Secretary of Security Timothy Pledger, the President, and a few other people have formulated a different type of committee. I believe they're going to call it the AREC, American Ranger Executive Council or Commission, that are actually going to be the static people that will actually put out the application, put out the application, start drawing in people, start putting together the leaders that they're going to need, the chiefs, deputy chiefs and all those kind of things. All of the temporary positions, temporary chief, temporary deputy chief, and all those kind of stuff have been dissolved at this point because we have moved to the point where we can do something else. And it has been pointed out to us from our legal counsel that we can actually start taking strides forward because there is a way for us to implement a small amount of enforcement through the ecclesiastical courts, and so that's the short end of it. There is a press release from the President and Secretary of Security Pledger that should come out in the next couple of days, sir. More thoroughly explains it.
Oh, yeah, that I was going to ask you about how that relates to the ecclesiastical system there.
I can't answer to that. It's something that we discovered that may be a solution that we're pursuing. But it'd be too premature for me to say that it's something that we're going to jump on.
Yeah. I'd like to also point out to the states, I was talking to Pat Walther, who was on a little while ago, about the states are not, a lot of the representatives and people in the national government are spending a lot of time on the national issues, but they're probably not doing enough for their internal state issues. And I'm Speaker of the House for Nevada, and we're currently trying to write, I don't know, I've got 9 acts that are up for writing here that we're slowly working on. And I'd just like to encourage all the states to look at their states. You have a constitution that allows you to create the structure of your Republican form of government, but that's just one stage. That's where your power comes from. Now you've got to define your government structures and all the, you know, like the offices of the executive branch and all the others, the Treasury Act and banking acts and all kinds of fun stuff that you should look at. So I'd just like to encourage everyone to look at your state and say, what do we have to define as a structure to operate our state? What laws are needed to enable the functions of the state, the operations of the state? And so Pat and I were having that conversation, and I thought, well, maybe I should bring this up since I'm here. So that's about it. I guess that's it.
Very good. Thanks very much for your input, Mark. And you'd also talked about the website with the reference for the Republic SG. Did you want to put a plug in on that?
I'm sorry.
You pulled him off. Yeah. Well, I'll do it for him. He referenced the fact that there's a number of calls on the republicsg.info site, which is run by the governor of Oregon, and a wealth of resources of research and also of audio archives if you go up to, I think it's like latest updates or something like that. All right. Kenneth Crane, good evening, sir.
Hello. This is Kenneth Crane, representative of Republic of Maryland. I'd like to ask a question. When is the James Timothy Turner and the Congress going to go to The Hague and so we can get this republic rolling in all the 50 states?
To answer your question, we have it scheduled. We'd been a little bit too open in our conversations before, and people found ways to block us from doing that. I can just say that the plan is to have that completed before the end of the first quarter, in other words, before March 31st of this year, and that's all I'm allowed to put out at this point. I can guarantee you that once any of those things happen or accomplish, that announced that more than once on a blow-by-blow basis, sir. Does that help with your question?
Yes, it does, and I thank you very much.
Well, appreciate you, sir, coming on this call because I do know a few things about you. There's a lot of people out there that are rooting for you. I like the fact that Maryland is coming back on board, and it is so good to hear from you, sir.
Okay, thanks. Now you know you'll the floor.
Thank
Very
you, Kenneth.
Sir.
Our
and
final.
This last guy, I don't know if we want to put this last guy on here. You know, he thinks he actually knows something about justice in the world.
Well, then let's put him on the call here. We've got somebody with some knowledge here. Good evening, Justice Corla.
Good evening, gentlemen, and all across the nation who are on this call. I appreciate the opportunity to have a moment with you. And my initial raising of my hand electronically was in regards to the gentleman who was calling about the syntaxing, and I had a similar response to what our generous Rick Weiner with his time had. And I wanted to just comment that I would be willing to offer to assist in any area in that regard, because I'm somewhat of a linguist, you might say, of my own. And I appreciate the thoughts that I'm justice-minded, because I believe that justice has to do with the Word of God as documented by the Congress in the time of our great Ronald Reagan's presidency, as the Bible being the Word of God. So I believe that to be factual, not just de facto. And I also believe that justice is more about, was someone actually injured? And if not, then maybe it's a de facto front. So I think in terms of addressing justice in the Republic, the justices and judges who are on this call, and I appreciate the gentleman's questions earlier about when we're going to get some training. We are, as Rick generously indicated, working with Nathan Peachy about trying to get some information to the people so that, and not only the judges and justices, not only potential grand jury members, but the people themselves, because if we live in honor, there will be very little need for the courts. Unfortunately, in the de facto today, we see there is very little honor. So I would encourage everyone, as others have said on the call tonight, to start their own self-education and begin to understand what honor is all about, and then we'll have a much better republic. And I just wanted to chime in about the question or comment about syntax, and want to wish everybody many congratulations and thanks for all your participation, all your efforts. I know, as well as many do, that it's a full-time job in addition to the full-time job of living. So thank you to all on the call tonight. Thank you for the people who moderate and run the calls, and the Republic Records Bureau, and everybody who's committing their lives and their sacred honor, and as well as their fortunes. So thank you, gentlemen and ladies, and good night and God bless.
Justice Gorla, could I impose upon you, as you are the last caller in the queue, to close us in a word of prayer?
I'd be honored. Thank you so much. I think that's part of our education, and I think it's important for us to go back to people like Thomas Jefferson, who was considered a deist, and people who say that we have to keep God out of the Republic. I think they're just simply not up to speed on what actually happened. Thomas Jefferson actually was responsible for promoting and beginning a Sunday service in the Capitol every week in honor of our Creator, who gave us this Republic. And so, out of respect for Thomas Jefferson and his thoughts on our Creator, I would begin by saying, dear Lord, we come to you tonight in thanks for all the work, the results, the good intentions, and the dedication to you, Father. And as the second person of the Blessed Trinity said, whenever two or more come together in my name, I am with you. And we thank you for being with us here tonight, Father. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to restore to our children and grandchildren what has been stolen from us. And we ask you, Lord, to keep us in honor, keep us holy and in mind that it is you who operates in our world, not directly, but to give us the wisdom, to give us the dedication and the willingness to sacrifice what we have in order that others may be better in your republic. Thank you, Father, for all your blessings. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Justice Gorla. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being on the call this evening. God willing, we'll talk with you next week. Laura, could you close us out in a song?
Sure.
Light from